Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critical.
We were not able to do this last Friday, which was my fault. It actually wasn't my fault. I was out doing good things. So joining us, as he does on Friday, the All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. Kim, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, baby. I got my mink line jock strap on, and I'm cozied up in my little condo at 20 below, snowing. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
But it does keep the riffraff out, yes?
Big time. The blizzard, we're going to get the fringes of the blizzard that's going to hit Minneapolis Square and the Keister.
Oh, well, come on. I mean, that's a banana belt. They'll get up to 30 or 40 degrees next week. Most of it will go away. Come on.
Yeah,
I have a lady who listens from, like, Churchbridge, Saskatchewan.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Right? And she gets what you get, right? Flatland, yeah. Wind blowing, colder than hell, with wind chills, you know, down in the 50 below area. So, that truly cold weather. And again, I go back to when I was a kid. I used to watch Vikings play. Yeah. You know, Bud Grant standing out there in his jacket and... I mean, seriously.
No gloves.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it's like, oh, it's like 30 degrees in Minneapolis and it's snowing. It's like, that's fucking warm, man. I didn't know that then, though. I was like, oh, Minneapolis. Now, Minneapolis is like the Miami of the North Central Plain.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like it's like Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that then.
Pretty much.
Right.
Pretty
I didn't know that then.
Yeah, it's nice. It's okay. I got I'm feeling better. I'm up and about, sitting up today. Going to physical therapy this afternoon. Hip and leg are feeling better. Still need my walker, but I'm on the road to recovery, baby.
Attaboy.
Knock on wood, though. After
knock on wood. How does your back feel?
Feeling pretty good. I still can't walk very far without the assist of my walker or cane, but I'm optimistic. I really am.
Right.
I'm excited about the sewer going to be on TV tonight, CBS, so you can get it out there.
That's the UND hockey team. So,
yes,
for those of you who don't know, called the Fighting Hawks these days. Kim stuck in the Kim stuck in the past.
I'm sorry. I am very much so. But that's showbiz.
That is showbiz, baby. Let's see. I have friends that are Red Sox fans, and and they want you to talk about homemade pizza crust. The crust is the hardest thing. Right. The crust is the hardest thing. So that's him trying to change the subject. He's not wanted to hear that Kim, you're a Dodger fan. You guys got screwed, man.
Hey,
by people that were cheating.
Nobody kissed us.
Exactly.
We got effed and nobody kissed us again.
Wow. Yeah.
But that's
That's not show business though. Don't say it's show business because
that's not
acceptable
not
in Major
all.
League Baseball. You get caught doing
cheating.
Yeah, you get caught doing that shit, people are gonna throw at you. Let me read you something that a friend of mine from North Dakota just sent me. He said Twitter is melting down today about this shit. And he sent me a screenshot. This kid's name's David Brocious. His dad Scott, former big league player. My dad was a third base coach for the Mariners in 2017. The Mariners knew they were cheating. Every team did. MLB did. he knew exactly how they were doing it in 2017. MLB just wasn't going to do anything about it until the public found out. My dad would get fake signs at third base acting like he knew what the Astros pitchers were going to throw, and Cora and Hinch would scream at him, calling him Bush League. Weird how that works. And then you saw videos about you saw videos where the manager of the Astros was asked about it in press conference, and he goes off about what a joke it is. It's an absolute joke. All this, you know, this comes up all the time. I let people have their, you know, their little bullshit say, and you know, our integrity, the way we play the game here in Houston, and you're just sitting there watching, whoa, dude's cheating. And really, I mean, the Red Sox. With, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees, man, they're the ones that paid. I'm not the Red Sox.
Yeah.
The Dodgers and the Yankees. The Yankees, you know, lost to both those teams in the playoffs who went on to the World Series, and the Dodgers got beat by them. And so, and again, the cost of the franchise in terms of millions and millions and millions of dollars, some of those players signed huge, huge contracts because of the numbers they put up. Now, somebody sent me an email and said, you know, Mac, how big of a difference could it have possibly made? And so I was watching TV yesterday. I had the, you know, I was working. I was watching the MLB channel. And so let me give you the Astros 2017, right? Their World Series year. Right? Let me give you their numbers at home and then on the road. At home, their record, 8-1. On the road, 3-6. Runs per game at home, 6. Runs per game on the road, 3. Batting average at home, 273. Batting average on the road, 208. Home runs at home, 18. Right?
Whoa.
Home runs on the road, 9. On base percentage, right? 343 at home. I'm at home. On the road, 284. Right? Slugging percentage, 519. Slugging percentage, 347, over 150 points less. I mean, you look at the numbers and they're gross. And they're gross. So.
You and I are huge baseball fans, and so is our. Millions of other people, and to see them cheating like this and just out in the open and pounding on a trash can in the hallway to the dugout, I mean to the locker room, I mean, come on.
Well, you want to hear, but you want to hear the latest that, you know, that they were wearing vibrating wearables,
buzzers,
right?
Yeah, right. I heard them last night.
Yeah. Right, right. So this thing is not over. And, you know, again, I in the first hour, I was talking about there's certain things, sign stealing, stuff like that. That's been going on in baseball. And that's acceptable on the field. If you're tipping your pitches and we see it, you know, taking advantage of it, that's not our fault. You should know better. You're in the big leagues, right? Or if your catcher is giving away signs or your third base coach is, all that's acceptable. What's not acceptable is using cameras, passing it down, you know, on some kind of telephone, communicating it to the hitter, using cameras and other bullshit, right? That's not acceptable. So it'll be interesting, right? It'll be interesting to see, again, I mean, the Astros players and the Red Sox players, as they fly around the country in airports, in restaurants. They're going to catch
this week earlier. I can't wait for the Red Sox to go into Yankee Stadium.
Oh, shit.
They are going to get hosed big time. And they deserve it. And when the Astros, if they play in Dodger Stadium.
Oh, my God.
Oh, baby. Come on.
You better.
But Yankee Stadium is a sacred place. And for those turkeys to go in there and play. And same with the Boston and Houston. I just hope they get just trashed. They deserve all the bad shit that's coming their way.
And you just had Boston's best player, Mookie Wilson, who didn't have a great year last year. And everybody's asking, well, what happened to Mookie? He put up monstrous numbers the year before, especially in Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh. What happened? Did that mean they stopped? Yeah, he doesn't know what's coming now, and he's come back to earth. But You're right. I want to say signed a con was the rumor was he was going to sign a contract for like $26 million a year. Well, part of it's based on, you know, on cheating. So anyway, somebody better get the buzzer back. That way that guy can put some numbers up. What the hell?
Yeah. I'm going to be real anxious to see how Major League Baseball handles this crap. If they try to cover it up or.
Well, no, I mean, they did an investigation. They immunized the players so they would get to the truth. And now, you know, what's happening, though, is the players are going to have to take the public abuse for what they did. They gave Houston the maximum fine they could give under Major League Baseball's bylaws, which is $5 million, took away draft choices. And again, the guy who was the center of all this, Alex Cora, then goes to Boston and does the same thing in Boston. And they haven't released that investigation. He and the Red Sox have since parted ways earlier this week. And again, what's interesting is that these guys are all supposed to be great guys. And now they're going to be cheaters forever. Cheaters forever. Yeah. And that Altuve guy down in Houston, he's supposedly a great guy, right? Cheater.
Yeah.
Cheater. You saw Aaron. I read a story where Aaron Judge deleted, you know, Altuve beats out Judge for the MVP in 2017, I think it was. Judge finished the second in the American League for the MVP. Judge deleted his tweet congratulating him, right, after this shit came out.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, it'll be interesting to watch the but the Dodgers, man, they got I mean, who's that pitcher?
Kershaw.
No. The guy who's who they said they had assigns, but you know it turns out they were cheating. But what's his name? Pitches for the Cubs now. Yu Darvish, right? He got annihilated. Yu Darvish did. So that's and they cost him millions of dollars by doing that. So now let me ask you, let's talk about pizza crust. All right.
Yes.
So Montana Man wants to hear about pizza crust. What is the secret? Because a lot of the homemade pizza I've eaten in my life, the crust sucks.
Well, the crust is king.
Right.
And we'll get to building a pizza later, but the crust, you start out with, they have this double O or triple X flour that's a real fine flour that they make here at the Dakota mill and send to Italy. And you have to have good pure water, which Montana Man does.
Exactly.
Some of the best.
Well said.
And yeast, and olive oil. You add olive oil, and I am taking this tip. I used to add a little hint of sugar, but your daughter-in-law has and I have been texting, and she's been showing me these pizzas she makes, and she adds honey instead of the sugar. Now, you want a little sweet. You don't want a lot of sweet, but that honey also helps with the crispness and the thinness of the crust. And, you know, you mix your dough up with all these ingredients. Then you let it rise. Then you punch it down and let it rise again before you cut it into your separate balls. And then you can roll it out by hand, but if you have like a little 12-inch or 18-inch, like a broomstick handle, but it's kind of, you can get them in a food store, that sells equipment, especially for rolling pizza, and then you flatten it out and you turn the dough, you throw a little cornmeal or flour on the counter,
right,
and then you roll it out as thin as you possibly can, and then you put it on the tray.
What if you don't like thin crust pizza? What if that's not
then
your thing?
Don't roll it thin.
Oh, all right. Don't say it like that. That's, like I'm a dumbass.
No, you're not.
I know I'm not, but you made me feel like I was.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. What you do is, you get it to the end, and if it's a thicker crust, you kind of make a little crust, a little mound around the pizza with the crust, so you can put your sauce in there. Now, the key to the pizza is not too much stuff on it. Your sauce.
What do you mean, man? I like a lot of stuff on it.
No, because that's an American way.
Yeah, I know. Come on. Je suis American. That means I'm
yes,
American.
Yes, oui. Mais oui. Mais
that
oui.
Means, that means I'm American in French.
you put your sauce on. You don't overload it. I usually take a ladle, put the sauce in the middle, and then swirl it around towards the outside. Now, my pet peeve is when you put your ingredients on, to put them all the way to within a half an inch of the end, the outside of the pizza. Because I want the crust, the last bite of that crust is great, but you want something, to chew on that has flavor besides the crust. But and you don't put too much cheese, but you put enough so it covers it. And like with whether it's sausage or pepperoni, which I love both of, and I love onions, of course.
Of course.
You put the sausage and pepperoni on the top of the cheese. That means that when it's cooking in the oven, that pepperoni will kind of get crispy around, and it kind of curls up into little bowls, and that delicious fat that's in the pepperoni, and they get kind of burnt and dark, and that's what I like. Some people will put the pepperoni and sausage under the cheese.
Yeah.
I do not.
Come on, who does that? What are we, barbarians doing that shit? Come on.
No. Yes, there are plenty of barbarians
on the planet that screw up pizza like that. That's a joke. But you don't like too much. So define for me what too much, because my favorite pizzas, you know what? I had a really good pizza. I think it was Pizza Hut. It was like a butter garlic crust now, because they do that on the crust. But it was like the pepperoni lover's pizza, man. There was pepperoni on the pepperoni in the son of a bitch. And I don't know why, but it tasted really good. It tasted really good to me. And so Colleen and I had pizza a couple nights ago. My favorite pizza, when I go pizza shopping, the McNamara standard was sausage, pepperoni, and mushrooms, okay? Michael Francis McNamara, his favorite is supreme pizza. I like red onions, I like olives, I like all that stuff on my pizza.
Yeah.
I like thin crust too. I don't like the thick crust, so
The thing is about putting too much sauce on your pie is it gets into the crust and it's soggy. You want to put enough to where there's enough so you get that tomato sauce flavor when you take every bite. You don't want too little, because then it's just, kind of red, semi-tomato flavor and all crust or whatever you have on it. So you have to balance it out, and it just takes experiment to do that. But it depends on what size of pizza you have. I tell you who does.
Let me ask you this. So what's the secret of, you have the dough and the tomato sauce? How do you keep it from getting soggy? What makes a pizza soggy?
Too much sauce, too much cheese. too much ingredients, just so you know.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How is the dough cooking? It's cooking on the stone, right?
A stone, yes.
Yeah.
Or a tray.
Right.
In a very, very hot oven. The stone will, if you preheat the stone, of course, with the oven, and when you put it on a stone, that'll be hot, and that kind of sears that bottom crust. But and then it'll cook from the top also. You just don't want to put too much sauce on there because it'll become soggy. And you know, when you cut a pizza and you pick it up, unless it's a 18-inch New York-style pizza, and you bend it in the half of the slice so you can eat it from the tip down to your fingertips. Otherwise, you go across the street and you get a 12-inch pie at the Toasted Frog, and you can cut that and you can pick it up, and the tip should not flop over. It should be a straight piece of pizza. So you can pick it up and crimp it a little bit and then eat it. Eat it, baby. Go after it.
But the pizza that I eat, I mean, it's got tomato on it. It's got cheese on it. It's got a whole bunch of stuff, and it's not soggy.
Well, then you got somebody making good pizzas. All right. That's all I can say. It's just, I've seen it happen. It's happened to me when they just throw so much sauce. Now, Beth brought a pizza home the other day, we're not going to go there anymore. I mean, it looked like there was tomato sauce on there, but it was dry like cardboard.
Hey.
And that's the worst. So you've got to make sure you get enough sauce on your pie. Otherwise, it's no good either. It's a balance, and it takes a good pizza guy not to overload, you know.
So what would you say relative to soggy pizza? What would you say? Is it too much tomato sauce?
Uh-huh. Okay. And too much cheese.
Cheese too.
I want to taste everything. I mean, if it's mozzarella on there, and maybe some people put a blend of cheddar and other types of cheese, right. Jack mm-hmm. cheese on yeah. there too, yeah. and that's fine. But don't put so much on that the pizza weighs 20 pounds. And you can't even pick the slice up unless you're using both hands.
The art of pizza making. We talked about this relative to making a gin and tonic, right? When you destroy the taste of the drink because you dump in too much gin, that's not a gin and tonic, right?
No, it's not.
And it makes it suck. So the art of pizza making and crust making. Now let's talk about just the crust. Do you ever, flavoring crust now is now an art form, right?
Yes.
I like a little buttery garlic on the crust, on a thin crust. Is that hard to do? Is that and when do you do it? You do it after the pie comes out of the oven, yay or nay?
No. Well, you can brush garlic on the crust before you put the sauce on.
Yeah.
If you want, you can put garlic in the dough when you're mixing it, or any kind of herb you want to put in there, chopped up basil in your crust. Maybe a little extra salt.
Got it.
That's how you flavor them.
But I think they put a little. I'd be curious. Now I'm curious. When do they brush a little butter on and throw a little seasoning on it, because it looked like it was a little bit of a, kind of some butter and then some kind of salt on it,
When it comes out of the oven, mm-hmm. you take a little melted butter and the exposed crust, you brush that butter all the way around, and you can sprinkle garlic salt, regular salt. You can put Parmesan cheese on that crust. Mm-hmm. And you know, then you've got it, you know, the crust is hot, so the cheese is going to kind of, the parm will kind of stick to the, and kind of half melt so it doesn't fall off the crust. And you're in the front row. I have to give a shout out before we go any further on crusts to your daughter-in-law, Susie, who keeps sending me these pictures of these unbelievable pizza pies she's been making. I don't know why your son isn't 300 pounds. I mean, that woman,
trust me,
kicks ass.
John is going to be 300 pounds.
Well, yeah,
when he gets out of the Marine Corps and moves to North Dakota, right, he's going to be one of those guide and outfit dudes. He's going to buy a big set of overalls, and he's just going to, like, max it out. Because yeah. They're both foodies. John learned it from you, but Susie's just, she's a great cook.
She's great cook. Yeah. My God. I call her chef. I mean, I'm tickled that she sends me these pictures and we have a little dialogue whenever she does something. She had a pizza she sent to me that it was kind of squarish.
Yeah.
You know? And you tell she made it by hand, and she's the one that gave me the tip about adding the honey instead of sugar to make the crust crisper, and she would made that one a thin crust. But she had a pesto, not a tomato sauce, just pesto, and then she put artichokes, sauteed, Brussels sprouts. And this burrata cheese, which is a mozzarella that is creamy inside. And it's really, really cool. But anyway, you need to hook up with her if you want to get schooled on crust.
I don't. Montana Man does. I think he's just trying to change the subject because of the state of the Red Sox. He was trying to reroute the show since he's listening to
well,
that. So
a good job, tell him.
So we head into the new year. Hold on, here's an email. Hey Mac, tell the chef hello. I haven't heard him since before Christmas. It's great to hear him be well. Yeah, you sound better too. I mean, your voice sounds better.
Thank you. I feel a lot, 100% better. I really do. Right. Thank you for the caduce.
Here's another one. Mac, what's the chef's favorite kind of pizza?
Oh, it started when I worked in Florence in Italy. It's a thin crust, of course, and it's got tomato sauce, and then it's got mushrooms, onions, and sausage. That's it.
Mushrooms,
onions,
and sausage. Got it.
And then I'm in the front row.
You're in the front. That's all you need.
That's all I need. Now there are times when I like just a straight up onion and pepperoni pizza.
Onion and pepperoni. I like pepperoni pizza. I do too. I don't order it all the time, but I'll tell you what. The pizza let me tell you this. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. And yes. Reheating pizza. How do you reheat pizza? Yeah. I had a girl. I went out with her sister in high school. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I went out with her a year ago. Okay.
Yes.
And I used to joke, right? When your dad passed away, I'm gonna go out with your mom. I'm gonna have the whole family.
Oh, God, you're terrible.
That's what she said. Shut up. The mother's from France. The father's from Italy. They emigrated to the United States. They left Europe and went to Morocco during World War II.
Yes.
And so she taught me how to reheat pizza. And she's, you know, I don't know what I was doing, but she just looked at me and she said, really? Really, McNamara? Is that really how you're going to? I'm like, what? She's like, give me that. And she put it in a frying pan. And she said, you always heat pizza in a frying pan. It firms up the crust. It doesn't get soggy. And it tastes just like it did when it got here. Okay? Really? Yeah. Do you not know anything? So how do you reheat pizza?
I don't do that, but I'm going to do it.
I would recommend it. It is. I will tell you this. She didn't tell me too many things that were right, which didn't slow her down from telling me things. But
yeah,
and she's a pretty funny person. You know what? She told me one of the things that still makes me laugh when I think about it. Relative to women, right? She looked at me once. She said, McNamara, it's a trick. It's always a trick. When are you dopes gonna figure it out? It's always
that. I can't wait to tell my wife. But if we have a lot of pizza left over, maybe we ordered an extra one for the next day. I will preheat the oven and throw my pizza in the oven.
Well, and that's what I was doing until she looked at me. And let me tell you what. I mean, first of all, right, the metal plate acts like the stone element in, you know.
Yes,
And then, you know, you have to keep the lid on the frying pan that you use. And you do it on low heat, so you let the ingredients all warm up together. And then, as opposed to nuking it or whatever, you get, when that thing hits heat slowly, right, you get the juices do their thing or whatnot. And I'm telling you,
that's exceptional.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I can't wait to get pizza. I know my wife will love it.
No,
and,
but yeah, it's
and
nice.
And reheat them.
Yeah.
But we have, I've been known to throw them in the microwave.
Oh, no, you're anti-microwave.
I know. It sucks. You just get a soggy piece of
wet pizza
warmed up dough.
Yeah, that's hot.
It's hot, very hot, you know. But putting it in a frying pan on low heat with a lid on it and starting it out that way, and then
front row, baby.
I would probably halfway through take the lid off and. So let some steam out, and I'll bet that's a killer pizza.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Beth just walked through the door, and she heard me. I will explain it to her in a minute.
Courtesy of Jean-Vive Baldini. There you have it. Sacramento, California.
What a great name.
Oh, my God. Her sister's name is Sabrina Eldarosa Baldini.
Baldini. I love Baldini.
And her dad, man, he's like fresh off the boat from Italy. You know, like bocce playing and shit like that. I like went over there when I was in high school. I was like, I don't even understand. They spoke French in the house.
Bocce ball is great.
Yeah, they spoke French in the house.
Oh, fabulous. What? Fabulous.
What? Yeah.
I bet they still do.
No, they absolutely do. They absolutely do. So, so it was pretty. It was an interesting place as a 16-year-old. Like, what'd your mom just say to me, right? And I think so. Yeah, no, it was an interesting place. It was an interesting place. And just beautiful girls too. And Jenny. I mean, one of the funniest women I've ever met in my life. She's straight up. Yeah, that line. It's a trick, McNamara. It's always a trick. And I'd be like, God. Damn it, again? Yes. So anyway, here's another email. Hey, Mac, I have a question about crust.
Yes.
I have a problem sometimes the crust burning and the pizza is yet to be cooked is because I'm – and then he goes on, in parentheses, I'm looking at the center of the pie, and it's clearly not done. I'm watching the edge of the crust, and it's burning. Is my oven too hot? Are there too many ingredients? What should I do? Chef? ?
My guess is there's way too much sauce, too much cheese, too many ingredients. And you can cook pizzas at 425 degrees in an oven, And if it's a thick crust, it's going to take a little longer. And if it's a thin crust, you could turn your oven up to 500 if you want. The key is, like we've been talking about all day, and I've been saying, don't put too much stuff on your pie. It just things don't cook all the way through. You know, you might burn your crust completely. You see somebody who has a wood fired pizza oven in a restaurant.
Yes.
And they throw the pie in.
Yep.
Well, that oven is around 750 degrees, 725 degrees.
Is that wait? So let me ask you this. Other than wood creating the heat, is there anything spectacular about a wood fired pizza oven? Is there something special about it?
Well, it depends what kind of wood you use.
Right.
In Florence, we used olive wood. Uh-huh. My friend Michael, in his oven, he uses apple wood. It imparts a little bit of that smoky flavor of whether it's apple or oak or maple or whatever you use. Mesquite, it's got to be a hard wood. And not a lot of moisture in there. And that's what the wood fires do, create a little bit of flavor in the crust. Just a hint.
All right.
But yeah. But the thing is my guess is he's putting too much stuff on the pizza.
Right.
Just try cutting everything in half. Or at least cutting way down on the sauce.
Well, what do you think about this idea? What do you say we make about 4 pizzas in a day? Okay.
Yeah.
And we're gonna mess with the amount of tomato sauce and the amount of ingredients until we get this thing right. Okay.
Yeah.
But we're not gonna experiment a little time, make another one. Right, experiment some more, make another one, and there'll be weeks that go by between it. We're going to get this thing done in a day. So we're going to mess with the ingredients. We're going to mess with the amount of tomato sauce until we get this shit right. What do you think of that idea? If you're a pizza person, make a few pizzas.
That's exactly what you want to do.
Really?
Now, my friend Michael in Leavenworth, Washington.
Yes.
Who had the bakery and he turned it into a gift shop. He's making.
Yeah, he came on the radio. He came on the radio with this one, didn't he, Michael?
Yes, yeah, Mooks.
Mooks.
Michael yeah. Monaco.
Yeah.
Mooks is his nickname. But he, when he rebuilt his house, he tore it down and built it up again. He put a wood fired oven in his house, in
what?
His kitchen. Yeah, not a big Ooh. One, but a big enough one. And he will do that. He'll make a bunch of pizzas, and one of his daughters will want a lot of sauce or more than he normally would do, and he'll do that for her. But he gets that oven up to 650, 725 degrees, throws it in there, I would do that if I was. I keep my oven temperature the same. Yeah. I keep my dough recipe the same. And then I would experiment with the sauce, the cheese, and whatever ingredients you want. But I would do different amounts. And that will show you how to get your best pie. And if you want to do brush a little garlic butter on your crust, you can chop up some garlic. Put it in a saucepan with a stick of butter
and
bring it up to heat and then just let it simmer so the garlic releases all its flavor and then just put it aside and it'll be warm when your pie is done. And then you just have a little pastry brush and brush your crust with it.
Okay, let me ask you this.
You'll be in the front row.
Let me ask you this. Would you do that in the last 10 minutes or after you take it out?
After I take it out.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Now, here's something you might want to try. You might want to experiment before you even put any sauce on. or cheese on is to brush the whole crust lightly with this garlic butter
puree
mixture. Yeah.
Notice how I use that cooking term puree, because I know that kind of shit.
You do. You've got game.
I got game, baby.
But you can try that. Nothing that, I mean, that would be an experiment with one of your pizzas.
Okay.
But the best way to do it is when it comes out of the oven, then you brush it on. You don't want the oven temperature to going down by pulling the pizza out, brushing it with the stuff, the garlic butter, and then putting it back in. You just don't want to do that.
Right. So we're just going to brush it on. So stuff I saw that Pizza Hut sent me looked like whatever they put on the crust had baked a bit, so it was a little bit crispy. So I'm not sure how they do that. Maybe I should go down and hang out at Pizza Hut and check out how they do that.
You can ask them. Just go ask them. How do you get this killer crust on here?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell them you're going home and doing it yourself, but it never hurts to ask questions.
All right, here's another pizza question. When I make homemade pizza, as Montana Man said, the crust is always the issue. Is there anything that the chef can tell me about making a lighter, crisper crust? There's something that restaurants sell, it's almost wafer like, and I like my pizza more like that than heavy, and I do like ingredients on it. What is that thing called? What's the thing? Lavash, right?
Lavash, yeah.
Lavash.
Well, lavash is? It's an Armenian cracker bread, and it comes in boxes from 6 inches across up to 18 inches across. And the lavash we would serve would be 18 inch. And what we would do is we would not put tomato sauce on there. We would put seeded diced tomatoes and pretty generous with the tomatoes. And that, and then whatever amount of ingredients on it, sprinkle them on. And we would use Havarti cheese on the top. And we slice our Havarti very, very thin. And then if you wanted to put some mozzarella on top of that or cheddar or whatever you want, go for it.
Got it.
That's but that's why it's a cracker bread you can buy in the grocery store, and anywhere 6, 12, or 16, 18-inch crusts. I can't remember the width. Maybe ours was only 16. I thought it was 18. I have some pans we used to serve it on that I took when I sold the restaurant that we keep for putting in the oven when we're going to reheat pizzas. And we get that puppy cranked up, too. The metal pan.
So is there a secret of lavash? Just all the ingredients have to be lighter? You can certainly, you know, do a lot of that stuff, but everything's got to be lighter because the crust is so much lighter?
Yes, but remember the key thing I said was diced tomatoes.
Right.
You take your tomatoes, you seed them, you know, cut them in quarters, take the seeds out and all the pulp, and then just dice them up into about quarter inch or half inch square cubes or whatever, and be generous when you're sprinkling that on there. If you put a sauce on there, that will instantly make your crust soggy.
Okay. So
no sauce.
No sauce on lavash.
You could probably do something like a pesto on there.
No, but there's a lot of different ways that you could skin that cat other than sauce. This is not a one-trick event, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
See how I know this kind of shit now?
Yeah, well, because you're hanging out with an Italian woman whose father is...
She didn't know how to make pizza. She hardly knew how to boil water, but she did know how to reheat. You know what she did?
How to reheat.
Yeah, she could reheat. She It was, listen to this, right? A great story. She loves to eat, right? And, right, she loves to eat. And so it was her birthday, got a birthday cake, right? And she asked me, do you want any more because I'm going to throw the rest of it out? And I said, no. I don't know what I was looking for in the garbage, but a little while later, I had to go in the garbage and, you know, there was like a third of a cake. There was like a third of a cake that she threw out, right? And so I go.
No way.
Yeah. And she goes, I need to throw it out or else I'll eat it. So I go in the garbage looking for something, and, and I flip over like the cake holder, right? The cardboard thing. There's no cake in there. So I pick it up and I walk out and I said, hey, what happened to the cake? It vanished in the garbage. And she goes, oh.
I hate it.
I said, what is wrong with you? And she said, I don't know.
That's funny.
Oh, funny shit, right? Funny shit. No, but I'll tell you what, her mom, oh my God. Kim, the best lasagna I've ever had in my life. It was like eating, it was like her pasta was whole, you know,
homemade,
yep, and it was thin, you know, so, yes. And so it wasn't, you know, some people like those thick noodles. Oh my God. This was like eating, like eating feather pasta. It was delicious and had all the ingredients. So you didn't get full on the pasta. I mean, it was just, oh my God.
And it was probably, not a one dish meal either. It was probably a course.
No,
is that correct?
Never. Very European. Yeah. Very European. And I just sat there like, yeah, sure. I'll eat more of that. And then, but they like they eat stuff like I didn't like Italian meats, right? And I was not familiar.
Mortadella. Capricola.
Oh, my God. They would start saying this shit, and I didn't start making shit up. Oh, do you mean the speckamula or the comoducci? She was like, shut the fuck up. Don't be saying that shit in front of my parents. You're going to confuse them. I'm like, I don't understand. I said, well, good. They could be like me because I don't know what the fuck. We have to go get the mortadella. I'm like, oh, should we get like
Capricola? Here's one, soppressata. And they're all absolutely. There's a place that came here that makes subs.
Yeah.
Called Jersey Mike's.
It just
came here. They're started in the East Coast, and the ingredients for their Italian sub is salami, mortadella, soppressata, and capricola. And, oh, is it ever good. And they put this kind of Italian dressing, oil and vinegar dressing on it with the lettuce and the onions and pepperoncinis. Oh, my God, I could just – and there is so much sodium in that sandwich that I brought one home. I thought Beth was going to kill me. That's why I can't eat pepperoni like I used to, because of the sodium.
Right.
But every once in a while, I'll sneak out and I'll get one. And then I drink a ton of water. As soon as I'm done, I start drinking
pump that salt out of your ass.
Pump that salt through, baby. Half a gallon of water, and she's saying, "Why are you going to the bathroom all the time?"
Oh, don't worry about it. Just trying to be
extra
water pill. Just trying to be healthy.
An extra water pill.
Trying to be healthy. You know me. Here's another email. Can we go back to the crust? The idea of making multiple pizza in a day is pretty brilliant, even more brilliant because Matt came up with it, and we all know he does not know shit about cooking anything. what's the point of this? Really? We're going to go there right now? All right. My question is for Kim. Does he make his own dough? Does he buy dough kits at the store? Does he have advice?
I make my own dough.
Ooh, Big time. Mr. Big Time, I'm a chef.
Okay, now there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can put your flour on there, take an egg, and break it, and then start working in the flour into the egg, or add your oil and your yeast. What I do is I'll take the KitchenAid. We have I think it's a 7-quart KitchenAid table countertop mixer, yeah. And it's got a dough paddle on there. And then you put your ingredients in there, your yeast, your olive oil, your flour, sugar or honey, whatever
so,
else you're going to need.
But no dough kit for you, man. You the real deal.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's if you have a KitchenAid, that's what you want to do. And you want to get that ball hard like a tennis ball. It's, you know, you put your thumb in there and it's stiff. And then you have to oil a stainless bowl and throw that ball in there and cover it tight, set it on the counter, and let her rise a couple of times, punch it down each time it rises. And then you can cut off your pizza dough.
Got it. Here's another one. How about ingredients from the chef? Are there certain ingredients to stay away from? Or is there certain kinds of cuts of certain ingredients that he would recommend? That's kind of an interesting question.
For the crust?
No, ingredients for the pie.
Oh, for the pie. I think I learned to do a pizza in Italy. It was called the quattro stagioni, which means four seasons in Italian. And 1/4 of it would be mushrooms. 1/4 of it would be Kalamata olives.
Yeah.
1/4 of it would be artichoke hearts. Mm-hmm. And the other quarter would be onions or prosciutto. It was prosciutto.
Prosciutto. Come on. How
prosciutto.
Could
yeah. Italian ham. thinly sliced, of course. But so ingredients, or what do you like on your pies? It's your imagination. But I used to love to do that quattro stagioni at Lola's when I had the Italian restaurant in Grand Forks. And people would suck it up at because, you know, you get four little different sections. One's artichokes, one's the Kalamata olives.
This is bring back bad
artichoke
memories.
Cards, onions, prosciutto. And
prosciutto.
And all of them good. You can, you know, and that's the way I like that. That's one way you can do it. So Beth and I, when we usually buy a pizza, she likes jalapenos.
Yes.
So if we just buy a pizza, we're going to split. We'll get half jalapenos, and then I'll get half onions or onions and sausage. But always for me, I love onions. I love onions on just about everything.
And your cereal.
that's probably the only thing I can think of. But anything that, you know, we had a hamburger the other day, and I had got a raw onion out and sliced it about as thick as the knife blade.
Ooh.
Paper thin. And for me, I have attitude about onions. If you're going to have raw onions on hamburgers, they better be sliced thin. Otherwise, I'm coming to the kitchen. Because I always request thinly sliced onions. You know, when you go in, you ask for onions on your hamburger, and they're not sautéed onions,
right,
which is absolutely fabulous.
Right.
But they give you a slice of onion that's 1/4 to 1/2 inch thick on your hamburger. What the hell's that?
Yeah, I know.
I want to taste everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if I have cheese on it, which I usually do, and the onions are sliced thin, but I'll make them a couple of layers thick. So I get the onion flavor, the hamburger, the cheese, whether I have pickles on there or relish or whatever, mustard, ketchup, sometimes mayo. I like mayo on a burger.
Do you?
Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just flat mustard.
Flat mustard?
Flat-ass mustard, that's
all. Nobody has just mustard on a burger, that's it?
Sometimes, yeah. Not very often.
Come on, man.
Oh, man, come on.
Come on, man. Just mustard? That's crazy talk, I tell you. Crazy talk.
It depends on the burger. And don't forget the most popular thing on burgers, bacon.
Ketchup,
absolutely. Thousand Island dressing, you know, the mix, your secret sauce.
Bob Big Boy.
Secret sauce.
Bob's Big Boy. Little red onion.
That's where I, yep. Raw red onion.
Yeah. Raw red onion. The, no, you know, people like In-N-Out Burgers have made a fortune, you know, paying a little bit extra attention to a couple of things. One of the things that In-N-Out does is they fry their bun in a little bit of butter, right?
Yes.
So that
yes.
little bit of crisp on the bun got a little
very
butter,
good.
Yeah, got a little buttery taste. So I don't know who figured that. Some grandma figured that out, right? Oh, that my grandma does that.
In town, we have a chain called Culver's.
Yeah, they do that.
They do that. They call it the butter burger. Exactly. And that's another thing I can't go near. I'm not allowed to go near. I love those burgers because, you know, you got to get a double patty with cheese. And you know, they fry them and they get them real thin and crispy on a griddle. And then the cheese on each piece and then start piling it up. But their bun is buttered and put on the grill.
Yeah. That's straight up Mac. Yeah, hey, I don't know if you remember this, but Mac Talk was out at Culver's for like 3 days when they had their grand opening.
Yeah,
and Kimmy was out there with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, straight
that's
up.
That's when I could eat anything.
And did.
And we did. We and did. Burgers were killer.
No, we had a – we did some – do you remember when we sold all those
grills,
all those green eggs. The guy went crazy. Yep. Like, I don't know what this radio show's about, but
we sold a ton of them. You did.
Well, no, it was just us talking.
You got
cooking.
A deal on one. You got a deal on. Yeah, it's the only reason.
It's the only reason I have one. Was because. We hadn't, you know, we had a Weber kettle and it was broken and stuff. So we were, and so I had I was coaching high school baseball. So we played a doubleheader on Saturday, which is customary in North Dakota. After we got done, we went by Dakota TV and Appliance, where Kim and I had done this remote on Friday. I might have been there a couple of days and Kim might have been there on Friday, but I'm not exactly sure. I think I was there for 2 days. And the guy, you know,
I was there with you both days.
Yeah, the guy comes walking up and he says, he goes, "Hey, man, I don't know how far your radio station goes, but I've never had a response like this in my life." I said, "So what happened?" And he said, "You know, normally I'll sell like, you know, three or four of these over the weekend." I said, "Well, what'd you sell?" And I think he sold like 15.
Yes, he did.
He said, "It's been unbelievable."
Yeah,
he said,
15
"Look,
15 or up."
Yeah, he said, I'll give you one at my cost." And so so we did, and I still have it today, and it's awesome. But the incredible green egg is and Kim was all over it. The reason I bought it was because Kim was just talking so much shit about it. And so he tricked me into buying it. And it is a great grill, just for the record. It's awesome. And but yeah, it was. We were doing Mac Talk. Here's an email.
Yep.
Here's an email. It's called Burger Mustard Only, Please. Like, who gets a burger with only mustard on it? That's like. Come on. That's like
a
bad.
Cheeseburger with mustard. Sometimes,
come on.
If it's a little cheapy
Come on. Going,
and I don't know. I don't do it very often.
But thank you.
I do remember doing it once. And now I don't. Now I put it all on. Whatever's in the fridge.
Yeah, on my burgers, I mean, come on, you got to have some onion on it. It's got to have some ketchup on it, right? It's got to have some stuff on it. Just mustard? That's like a punishment.
Yeah. Beth makes her own pickle relish in the fall. Sweet pickle relish.
I'm anti-pickle relish. I don't like it.
Oh, I'm not.
You're not? You're
not
pro.
Not my wife.
You're PPR? Pro pickle relish?
Yeah. I am. I don't like the those dill pickles that like McDonald's puts on.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I've learned to like those. Like those aren't Boston, are those dill pickles?
I like kosher dills. I like kosher dill pickles.
What's the difference?
I think that's the best. That's just not as bitter as those cheap little thin pickles. And it's still sliced pickle, but it's got a little more substance to it.
Yeah.
And it's kosher and a little crisper. And they got some flavor out of those puppies.
Interesting.
And you can buy those Clausen dill pickles in your grocery store refrigerator.
We used to go eat those on Thursday when we would go have the ferocious roast beef sandwiches at Bonzer's. And you would, and you'd be mean to John. So, yeah.
All right, what else? I wasn't mean to John. We both worked him hard.
No. I did not. I never did.
He was so strict. He was such a so
uptight white guy. Personification of the uptight white guy. And Kim. Kim used to just feed it to him.
Oh, God. And he'd bite every time. He'd bite. So who am I to not stop?
Oh, I know. I know. And I would just sit there. Pickle. Oh,
you
I did. I did not. Not like you did. You delighted and tortured him. Says pickles. Do you all have Wickles pickles? Awesome, sweet, and hot.
No, I haven't. I've never heard of them.
Wickles pickles. No.
Wow.
Wickles pickles. Wickles pickles. Is that pickles in Alabamese? They speak a different language down there. I don't know if you know that, but they do. I know that kind of shit.
That must be a southern pickle. How do you spell it?
Wickles. So that to me, that looks like Wickles. And then I don't know if she spelled pickles wrong.
Yeah, Wickles. Wickles.
W.
Wickles. Wickles pickles. I love it. I'll look for it.
Awesome.
Wickles pickles.
Sweet and hot.
That'd be in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, just sweet and hot, just like Beth.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. I just want to testify.
I missed my cue, right? Yeah. I missed my cue to hit the rim shot. Yeah, no kidding. So anyway, all right. Yeah, big plans over the weekend. Hold on. Here's another. Here's another pizza email.
Yes,
Mac. Why do you think anchovies have got such a horrible name as a food and as pizzas? And how the hell did they get on so many different pizzas for so many years? Do you know why? How did anchovies get like? They're horrible.
Well, they're not horrible if...
Yes, they are. Come on.
In this country, anchovies come in these little rectangular cans. And we use them to make our Caesar salads. But the art form to eating those anchovies is you must remember they're packed in a heavily salted brine. Okay? So if you just take one out of the can and eat it, you'll taste some anchovy, but mostly salt. So what you do is you peel some off and you rinse them. And then put them on a paper towel and dry them. And then you can put them on your pizzas or a Caesar salad, mash them up in a Caesar. And that's how you handle those. But in Italy, you get fresh anchovies. And you don't have to do anything but eat those.
Are they good?
They're delicious. And you'd go, sometimes they have an antipasto table.
Right.
And you'd go help yourself.
Right.
And there'd be a dish of these anchovies, about anywhere from 4 to 6 inches, 8 inches long, and they'll have head on. And you just take them and skin them, you know, put it in your mouth and just go along the bones. And if you're Italian, you eat the head.
Oh, my God, disgusting. But they were on pizza forever. No anchovies, anchovies, right?
Yes. Like, but that's why that they got the bad rep. Yeah. Nobody rinsed the anchovies. They just open a can and start putting them on the pizza. Well, that liquid spreads all over the pie and ruins the pie.
Well, there you have it. No wonder everybody hates anchovies.
That's it.
Is that the true reason?
No, that's what I have.
Oh, your experience.
Figured out from my experience, and I one time I can't remember. Said, why don't you rinse those things? Why? They're anchovies. They're cured in salt, for Christ's sakes, before they're canned. So, you know, they're still going to be salty when you eat them. So I rinsed one, and I said, eat it. He went, oh, my God. I never did that.
That's the stupidest thing I've heard all day.
Yeah. That's it.
There you go. The sad, sad story of the anchovy. All right, sir. Look, good luck.
Don't forget to watch our hockey team on television, CBS, tonight.
Oh, is it? Keep your what's your fur lined jock strap? What's it lined with? Mink line?
Oh, it's inside and out. it's a very adult.
You have a very adult
package holder.
you have a blizzard coming though, right?
Yes, we do, and it's snowing right now. As I look out the window, and the wind is blowing, baby. It's supposed to blow between 35 and 50 degrees, 50 miles per hour today.
No kidding.
So, the snow's obviously it's 20 below, so it's very, very butch today.
All right. Well, look, give Beth my best, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you very much for the visit.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, and goodbye, everyone. Have a great week.
Au revoir.
And don't forget, it's almost February, which puts me closer to May 1st.
There you go. All right, the head chef here on a Friday, All Marine Radio. That'll do it. If you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. I explain the whole controversy relative to sign stealing in baseball coming up. And then you're going to see headlines that say 11 Americans injured. And so, again, we all know that headline writers are pieces of shit, right? They're just trying to get you to click. So if they told you the truth that it was precautionary for concussions, right? But they don't say concussion. What they do say is they're being screened for traumatic brain injury. Got it. All right. Anyway, so have a great day. Alex Hollings will join us on Monday. Have a great weekend, for God's sake. So, on a Friday, All Marine Radio. Out. And don't forget to live the high life, for God's sakes, right? Because people we know don't have that chance, right? So walk the path of post-traumatic winners, live the high life. And, right, you know the enduring task of All Marine Radio and listening to it. Go change somebody's life. You guys know how to do it. So do that shit. Have a great weekend.